Now in Virginia, we can get personalized license plates. So I wanted to get one with a good scripture passage on it. And so, about 19 years ago when I was ordained, I was able to get JNCH6. JNCH6. John chapter 6. A lot of people thought it was Join Channel 6, but I was able to let them know. John chapter 6 is the greatest Eucharistic chapter in Scripture. It's actually Jesus' longest teaching, his longest discourse in Scripture is John chapter 6. Every Catholic should know that chapter. Jesus says three times, again and again, unless we eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, we have no life within us. Many people have been converted by reading that chapter in the Bible. Down in Virginia Beach area, not too far, about 3 hours from where I am, there was a Protestant Bible study that was working their way through the Gospels. They got to John chapter 6, and all 20 people in the Bible study became Catholic just by reading John chapter 6. So tonight I want to talk about the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The Mass is the greatest prayer. The Mass is Jesus offering himself to the Father. It is the one and only sacrifice of Christ made present to us here and now. The word Mass comes from the Latin words at the end of the Mass. Ite missa est. The dismissal, the sending forth. Every time we come to Mass, we are gathered together with Christ. We become one with him, and then we are sent forth to convert the world and evangelize and help to sanctify the world. So the very word Mass means the sending forth. Just as you came here tonight to become one with Christ, to receive his body, blood, soul, and divinity, then you're dismissed to go forth to convert the world to Jesus Christ. The Mass is called the Sacred Liturgy, the greatest prayer. It is greater than any of our personal prayers because the Mass is Jesus praying to the Father. It's us participating in the public prayer of the Church, which is the prayer of Christ. At the Mass, we participate in the one and only sacrifice of Christ, where Christ is both the priest and the victim. See, in the Old Testament, the priest and victim were always distinct. The priest would offer, let's say, a bullock or a lamb, or in the case of Melchizedek, bread and wine. But in the Old Testament, the priest was always distinct from the victim. The offerer was always distinct from the offered, but not in Christ. At the Mass, Jesus offers himself. He is both priest and victim, and he offers himself to the Father for the salvation of the world. They say that all the graces of Calvary are distributed through the Mass. If you want to get the graces of Calvary, come to the Mass. They flow from the altar of the cross at every Mass. So the sacrifice of the Mass is greater than any private prayers because it is Christ praying to the Father. The Mass is also called the sacred banquet, where bread and wine are transformed through this great miracle of transubstantiation into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. It is called the greatest miracle. Father Faber, in his book, The Blessed Sacrament, says that to change the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ is a greater miracle than the creation of the entire world, than the creation of the universe. At every Mass, a miracle takes place where Jesus becomes present under the appearances of bread and wine. The Mass is also called the sacred meal, in which we receive Jesus, the food of our souls, on our pilgrimage to eternal life in heaven. Just as God fed the people with the manna in the desert, so now God feeds our soul with his own Son, with Jesus Christ. So they say the Mass is the greatest proof of God's love for us. Mother Teresa once said that if you want to see how much God loved you in the past, Look at the crucifix. If you want to see how much God loves you right now, look at the monstrance. Look at the Blessed Sacrament. Now, the Mass is where we participate in the Last Supper. Wouldn't it have been wonderful to have been there at the Last Supper? Well, every time we go to Mass, we are there. We're present at the Last Supper, and we are present at Calvary. The sacrifice of the Mass, the Last Supper, and Calvary are all one. It's all one sacrifice. Jesus said, "This is my body. This is the cup of my blood." When we attend Mass, we become present at these events. Christ only died once, once for all. He does not die again at every Mass. Whenever we go to Mass, time and space are pushed aside, and the sacrifice of Calvary is made present to us here and now. It's made present, and we enter into it. We do not repeat the sacrifice of Christ again and again. It's one sacrifice, one death, but it's made present to us. And we get to participate in the Paschal mystery, in the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. If you saw the movie on the Passion out a few years ago, perhaps the most beautiful part of that was when Christ is being sacrificed on the altar, on the cross, and there you have the reflections back to Jesus saying, "This is my body." And as he says that, then you see when he said those words at the Last Supper, then his body is being raised on the cross. And he said, "This is the cup of my blood." And then you see the blood flowing from the Lord at Calvary. The sacrifice of the Mass and Calvary and the Last Supper are all one and the same sacrifice. It's not repeating the sacrifice. It's taking the one sacrifice of Christ and planting it in Chandler, or planting it in Scottsdale, or planting it in Mesa. Every time we come to Mass, we are present at the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ. An analogy would be, let's say if the Super Bowl's on and you videotape the Super Bowl, or tape it or TiVo it, and then you were to watch it every Sunday, every Sunday, every Sunday, for 52 Sundays in a row. How many times was that game played? Just once. But every time you put it in the VCR or the DVD and watch it, you were present at the one event. And so the same thing with the Mass. We're present at the one sacrifice of Christ. As you know, there is only one priest, and that is Jesus Christ. Any of us who are ordained to the priesthood are only ordained into the one priesthood of Jesus Christ. So it is Christ who offers every Mass. It is Christ who becomes present on every altar. So we as priests merely share in the one priesthood of Jesus. The Mass is the perfect prayer because the Mass contains everything that pleases God, namely His Son, Jesus Christ. As you know, there are different aspects of prayer. It's all contained in the Mass. Adoration and worship, love, thanksgiving, reparation, petition, all the prayers are pulled together in the Mass. The Mass is the greatest act of thanksgiving. Even the word Eucharist means the thanksgiving. The Mass is the greatest opportunity for us to adore God, to love Him, to thank Him, to offer reparation, and petitions. Now, when we think of the Mass, as you know, there are different parts of the Mass. The Mass can really be divided into two parts: the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist. You know, just like at the football game, you have the two halves, right? The first half, the second half, and in the center and during halftime. Well, the halftime at the Mass is the offertory, when the gifts are brought up. The first part of the Mass starts out with the introductory rite. The Mass begins with the sign of the cross. The Mass ends with the sign of the cross. The Mass begins with the Trinitarian greeting, and then the penitential rite, in which we acknowledge our sins and confess our sins really to one another, generally through saying the Confiteor, the I confess. And at that point, if we're truly sorry for our sins, our venial sins are washed away. Our venial sins can be forgiven through that prayer. And mortal sins, as you know, have to be confessed individually in the sacrament of penance, in confession. But the confiteor can prepare our soul and take away our venial sins. Then we say the Kyrie. Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy. The beautiful Trinitarian prayer. And then the liturgy of the word unfolds before us. The reading of the Old Testament, the Psalm, the New Testament reading, the Gospel, the homily, the Creed, and the prayers of the faithful. That is the liturgy of the word. And then there's the break with the offertory procession, which then begins the liturgy of the Eucharist. Now, what's so amazing about the Mass is how much Scripture is at the Mass. One of the things that converted Scott Hahn, the very famous, he was at one time a very famous anti-Catholic Protestant minister, he went to his first Mass and he was converted just by seeing the Mass. Because he saw Scripture, he saw the book of Revelation, the letter to the Hebrews, the Old Testament sacrifice, all contained in the beauty of the Mass. And we as Catholics have so much Scripture at every Mass. If you go to Mass every Sunday for 3 years, you hear almost the entire Bible being read to you on the 3-year cycle. So we should know the Mass better than anybody, right? Every 3 years we hear the majority of the Bible on the 3-year cycle. Now if you go to daily Mass, you hear almost the entire Scripture every 2 years. So those of you who go to daily Mass, I do encourage you to go to daily Mass. You can hear Scripture in the 2-year cycle. So we should know our Scripture really better than anyone. If we would listen, study the Bible, pay attention to the readings, and try to take that homily to heart. And then the second part of the Mass, the offertory, the preparation of the gifts. And the Lord chose to use bread and wine for a very important reason. Many grains make up the one bread. Many grapes are crushed to make up the one wine. It really reflects the body of Christ, how we are those grains of wheat, we are those grapes that come together and then are united to Christ. And we're joined to Christ in Holy Communion. A beautiful tradition, a beautiful thought is as the gifts are brought up, place yourself on the paten. Place your intentions into the chalice. Offer your loved ones. Unite your loved ones with the Mass. And then they get offered up. Those suffering with cancer, those suffering with illnesses, those struggling, those with difficult marriages, place yourself on the paten. Place yourself in the chalice. And then you're offered, united to Christ as he offers himself to the Father. So you too become a living sacrifice. The gifts are brought up, they are offered, and then the Eucharistic prayers are said. And at the Eucharistic prayer, notice that the priest does not say, "This is the body of Christ," or "This is the blood of Christ." He says, "This is my body, this is the cup of my blood." He's speaking first person, because it is Jesus who is offering the Mass through the priest, using the priest's hands, using his mind, using his lips, using his words. It is Jesus who says those words, "This is my body, this is the cup of my blood." It's the same thing when you get baptized or when you go to confession. The priest says, "I absolve you from your sins," or "I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." It is Jesus who is speaking through the priest in that time. And then the great moment of communion comes about, where we get to receive Jesus into our body, into our heart, into our soul in Holy Communion. And we say, "Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed." So then we receive the Lord and we participate in the very life of God. The very life of Jesus comes into our heart and soul. We become one with Christ. That's why we call it the Holy Communion. Now, when we look at the Mass, we notice that the Mass shows forth the death and resurrection of Christ in the way by a separate consecration of the bread and wine. Did you ever notice that the priest always consecrates the bread first and then the wine? He doesn't consecrate both at the same time. He doesn't say, this is the body and blood of Christ. That would not show forth the death of the Lord. What shows forth the death of the Lord is the separate consecrations. First, this is my body, which will be given up for you. Then, this is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new covenant, to be shed for you and for all for the remission of sins. See, it's a separate consecration which represents and shows forth the death of Christ, the separation of his body and blood. And then, after the Lamb of God, the priest takes a little piece of the host and places it in the chalice. And that shows forth the resurrection, the uniting of his body and blood again. And so what a beautiful image we have at the Mass of the Passion, the death, and the resurrection of Christ. And then after we receive the Lord in Holy Communion, the Lord stays within us for at least 15 minutes after we receive Communion, until the appearances of bread and wine are disintegrated, Christ is there. And that's why those who leave Mass early are actually walking tabernacles. They're walking tabernacles. And I remember St. John Bosco, when people left early, he would send the two altar boys out with lit candles. Follow those people to the parking lot. I'm sure that would stop people from leaving early, right? If they saw the altar boys follow them to their car. So we become living tabernacles when we receive Communion. Jesus is there for that 15 minutes, and we need to adore him and worship him. So if you notice, then the Mass concludes with the blessing and then, of course, the sign of the cross just as the Mass began. But if you notice what happened in the Mass is this, the three stages of the interior life. If you've read the books by Father Garrigou Lagrange, who was one of the teachers of Pope John Paul II when he was a seminarian. And in his book, he has a book called The Three Stages of the Interior Life: the purgative, the illuminative, and the unitive. And every time we come to Mass, we walk through those three stages: the purgative, illuminative, and unitive. The purgative is when we do the penitential rite, and I confess to Almighty God, and we're sorry for our sins. We purify our souls at the beginning of Mass by blessing ourselves with holy water, by saying the Confiteor, and of course, ahead of time, going to confession. So the purgative is the first part of Mass. Then the illuminative part of Mass is when our minds are enlightened by the Scriptures, by the homily, by the creed, by the prayers of the faithful, that illumines the mind, and that leads up to the unitive way. Union with Christ and Holy Communion, when we become one with Christ. So our life on earth really are those same three stages. We go through purgation, either here or in purgatory. We go through the illuminative way to enlighten our minds. As you know, the more we love God, the more we know about God, the more we can love him. And then the unitive way, becoming one with the Lord. So our time on earth really is purgative and illuminative, which leads to unitive in heaven. The souls in purgatory are still being purified. We can offer up our daily sacrifices, our aches and pains, our difficulties, and offer them up. Remember the nuns used to say, offer it up. It's great advice. Wouldn't you rather do your purgatory here on earth than in the next life? Well, offer everything up. All your prayers, all your works, all your joys, all your sufferings, offer to the Lord. And I'm sure if you did that during your entire lifetime and went through the purgative way and the illuminative way, when we die, we could go to heaven. As they say, don't just aim for purgatory, because if you come up short, you won't be in a good place. So you don't want to have bad ballistics. You want to aim for heaven. And if you come up short, you'll land safely in purgatory. See, how can you get more out of the Mass? Whenever you come to Mass, offer your Mass for a special intention. Offer it for your spouse, your children, your grandchildren. Offer it for the conversion of world leaders and civil leaders. Offer it for vocations, for the end of abortion, for pro-life. If you offer your Mass for a special intention, you'll get more out of the Mass. Offer it for a loved one that you know. And then you can write them and say, oh, I offered my Mass and communion for you today. Then bring something to the Mass. Well, first of all, bring yourself to the Mass and bring your family. Bring your prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of the week and unite that to Christ. Bring your tithe, your sacrifice of your time, your talent, and your treasure. And the more you bring the Mass, the more you'll get out of Mass. You know, some people say that they don't get anything out of Mass. Well, it's because they don't bring anything to it. Somebody can sit in an opera and not get anything out of an opera. That's because they bring no knowledge of opera to it. Somebody could sit at a concert, a symphony, and be bored to death because they bring no knowledge of music to that symphony. Believe it or not, some people can watch a football game and be bored to death. Why is that? Why you as a husband are fascinated by golf or basketball or baseball or football? That's because you bring knowledge of that sport. But your wife might not be interested. To them, to her, it's very boring. You say, how can football be boring? How can the Super Bowl be boring? But it is for somebody who brings no knowledge of football. So the more knowledge of the Mass you bring, the more you'll love it, the more you'll appreciate it. I'd also recommend when you come to Mass, try to come early for Mass and read the readings ahead of time. Read the scriptures ahead of time during the week. Read them 10 or 15 minutes before Mass and you'll get more out of the Mass. And try to stay after Mass a little bit. I'm thinking about putting a sign in the back of the church in my parish that says, the only one who left the Last Supper early was Judas. And I'm trying to think if that would help keep people in till the end of Mass. Maybe, maybe not. Well, I'm tempted to do it. I already put signs over all the baby changing. You know, when you go in the restrooms, you have all the baby changing tables in all the restrooms. I have a quote from Scripture. It says, we may not sleep, but we shall all be changed. The moms get a kick out of that every time they go in to change the baby. So stay until the end of Mass and then try to kneel down after Mass and say some prayers. Make a thanksgiving. Try to spend some time after Mass. Growing up as a kid up in Philadelphia, I'm born and raised in Philly, my mom and dad and my sisters and I, after Mass, as everybody rushed out of the parking lot, we just knelt down as a family and made a thanksgiving. A couple minutes, 2, 3 minutes, maybe 5 minutes, and that perhaps planted maybe the seed of a vocation in myself, maybe in my sisters. So the idea is maybe not to rush off after Mass, but kneel down and make a thanksgiving. And on the way to Mass, try to use that time well. Don't listen to the radio. Instead, pray the rosary as you come to Mass, or listen to a religious tape or sacred music, or listen to a CD of a conversion. Listen to something very spiritual, and that will help you to get more out of the Mass. So in conclusion, in summary, every time we come to Mass, we render to God the highest form of worship. We thank Him for all of our blessings. We make reparation for all of our sins. We obtain the blessings we desire. Every time we come to Mass, we help to release souls from purgatory and shorten our own time there. Every time we come to Mass, we pray for the protection from all dangers to body and soul. They say at the end of our life, when we have attended Mass reverently during our life, that will be the greatest consolation at the hour of our death. All the Masses that we have participated in worthily and received the Lord worthily. Every time we come to Mass, we bring down God's blessing upon ourselves and our family and upon our loved ones, upon our parish and upon our country. So may we have a deep love and appreciation for the Holy Mass, the one sacrifice of Christ made present to us here and now. God bless you.